to think, to worship, and to focus upon you in the midst of life's difficulties at this present time. But thank you, God, that you understand us and you've made us aware through the work of Jesus and the Holy Spirit to understand that we're living in a broken world and how we need to be in partnership with you, working, Lord, towards making this place a better place and bringing people to that knowledge and to see the same light as we see. So, Lord, as we consider some of these things this morning, we pray that you'd be with us and we'd have open hearts and spirits to hear from you. So, Lord, we give this time to you and we give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, just a couple of things to mention. I made a mistake last week. I know it's hard for you to believe, but I did. And that is, I said that it was worship on Wednesdays, last week. And it wasn't. It was one of our prayer gatherings. But this week, I'm soundly assured that it is worship on Wednesday. This week, between 7 and 8, I'm thinking it's coming from Greystones. Yeah, I think it might be. But if you want to join us for worship, then we'd love you to be a part of that. And also, just very briefly, if you want to join us in our coffee time via Zoom after the service, then just leave a message in the comments. And if you haven't got a link, then you're more than welcome to join us. So that's all there is this week at this point. So I'm going to hand over to my friend Adam, who's going to lead us in some worship. Bless you.
Sing, bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Oh, my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before. Oh, my soul, I'll worship your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before. Oh, my soul, I'll worship your holy name. You're rich in love and you're slow to anger. Your name is great and your heart is kind. For all your goodness, I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart to find. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Oh, my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before. My strength is failing, the end draws near, and my time has come. Still my soul will sing your praise unending. 10,000 years and then forever. Bless the Lord, O my soul, oh my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before. Oh, my soul, I'll worship your holy name. Yes, I'll worship your holy name. yes, I'll worship your holy name. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, early in the morning our song shall begin. Casting down their golden crowns before the glassy sea. Cherubim and seraphim, see creation's story. God from of old to all eternity. Savior of the lowly, healing sinners dark and dying, your glory may not see. God of earth and heaven, you alone are holy, perfect in power, in love and
Well, good morning, everybody. It's lovely to be with you in your living rooms today. And I am Richard Doherty. I'm the youth minister here at Emmanuel Baptist Church. And each week I get to do something really exciting for about 5 minutes. And today I brought in a balloon and something sharp. You see, some things in life don't really go together, like balloons and sharp things. Whoa, there we go. That went really well on the reverb in my microphone. Because some things in life just don't go well together. If you have a balloon and a sharp thing, you know there's going to be a bang. And the Bible warns us that in our lives, if we introduce sin, it leads to consequences. If we do something which God says isn't good for us or other people, then a bit like a sharp thing and a balloon, you get a bit of a pop. Now, there's some people in church this morning who are a bit worried I'm going to keep jabbing balloons, I think. But the interesting thing about the Bible saying that the wages of sin is death, like a balloon, we go pop, we get separated from God, we get separated from other people, good things get spoilt. The Bible also says something wonderful about Jesus. It says he was pierced for our transgressions. Now, hopefully this works. Hopefully this balloon here is going to represent Jesus. And if I'm very careful here. Oh, no, not that one. I've got a couple of spare ones. Just in case, always good for the live. Come on, come on, come on, come on. There we go. He was pierced for our transgressions. The Bible says that Jesus wasn't destroyed by sin. He didn't go pop. Now, he went to the cross. He was hurt. He died. But actually, Jesus lives forever. If I pull this out, he came back to life, so that we can know him forever and that sin and the wrong things we do don't have to go pop, but we can be friends with God. So maybe at home you're thinking, well, I've done some things this week, or I've done some things which I'm not very happy about. Maybe I've done this sin. Maybe I'm separate from God, or separate from my friends at school, or I've upset my teacher. And actually the good thing about knowing Jesus is when we go to him, we give him our sin, and it doesn't pop him, but he takes it away and makes us strong again. I'm going to hand back over to Adam, who's going to lead us in a couple more worship songs, and then our friend Joe is going to come and bring today's Bible reading to us. See you soon.
Into your courts I would enter, maker of heaven and earth. I tremble in your holy presence. Glory, glory in your sanctuary, splendor and majesty, Lord. Before adores you, all the earth will declare that your love is everywhere. The fields will exalt, seas resound. Hear the trees joyful cry, praising you, and so will I. And you, song I've seen, Lord, I will glorify and bless your holy name. Jesus, Lord of all life and salvation, into your presence we come. We worship you, our precious Savior. Fill us with your holy power. Set us aflame with your love, till nations all know your glory. All the earth will declare that your love is everywhere. The fields will exalt, seas resound. Hear the trees joyful cry, praising you, and so will I. A new song I'll sing, I will glorify and bless your name. Glorify and bless your name. Glorify and bless your holy stories of what they think you're like, but I've heard a tender whisper of love in the dead of night. You tell me that you're pleased and that I'm never alone. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are, it's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am, it's who I am, it's who I am. I've seen man is searching for answers far and wide, but I know we're all searching for answers. Only you provide, 'cause you know just what we need before we say your word. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are, it's who you are, it's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am, it's who I am, it's who I am. You are perfect in all of your ways, you are perfect in all of your ways, you are perfect in all of your ways. To us, you are perfect in all of your ways, you are perfect in all of your ways, you are perfect in all of your ways. To us, love so hardly speak, peace so unexplainable. I can hardly think as you call me, deeper still as you call me, deeper still as you call me, deeper still into love. Good, good Father, it's who you are, it's who you are, it's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am, it's who I am, it's who I am. You're a good, good Father, it's who you are, it's who you are, it's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am, it's who I am, it's who I am.
Our scripture reading is from the book of Ruth, chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. Now there was a wealthy and influential man in Bethlehem named Boaz, who is a relative of Naomi's husband, Elimelech. One day, Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, "Let me go out into the harvest fields to pick up the stalks of grain left behind by anyone who is kind enough to let me do it." Naomi replied, "All right, my daughter, go ahead." So Ruth went out to gather grain behind the harvesters. And as it happened, she found herself working in a field that belonged to Boaz, the relative of her father-in-law, Elimelech. While she was there, Boaz arrived from Bethlehem and greeted the harvesters. "The Lord be with you," he said. "The Lord bless you," the harvesters replied. Then Boaz asked his foreman, "Who is that young woman over there? Who does she belong to?" And the foreman replied, "She is the young woman from Moab who came back with Naomi. She asked me this morning if she could gather grain behind the harvesters. She has been hard at work ever since, except for a few minutes' rest in the shelter." Boaz went over and said to Ruth, "Listen, my daughter. Stay right here with us when you gather grain. Don't go to any other fields. Stay right behind the young women working in my field. See which part of the field they are harvesting, and then follow them. I have warned the young men not to treat you roughly. And when you're thirsty, help yourself to the water they have drawn from the well." Ruth fell at his feet and thanked him warmly. "What have I done to deserve such kindness?" she asked. "I am only a foreigner." "Yes, I know," Boaz replied. "But I also know everything you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband. I have heard how you left your father and mother and your own land to live here among complete strangers. May the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge, reward you fully for what you have done."
Turn my mic on. Naughty boy. The technical crew will not like me for that. Anyway, thank you, Joe. What we're going to move into now is a really special opportunity, because we've got a speaker from Tearfund, Julie Potkin, who's very kindly recorded her message for us. And she's going to help us to think in this broader sense about who we are and the world in which we live, and the message, really, which we've been given to be able to take to other people, and how we could do that in a variety of ways. Just a note of warning, the quality on the video is not brilliant, so it's not your PC or your TV or anything. It is part of the quality of the video. But thank you so much, Julie. Bless you.
Morning. It's such a pleasure to be with you this morning. My name's Julie, and I'm a Tearfund volunteer speaker. When I heard that there was the opportunity to speak at Emmanuel Baptist Swanage, I leapt at the opportunity, because Swanage is a place that, for our family and myself, has just been a place that's called our second home, really. And every time our kids saw Corfe Castle, as we rounded that corner after Wareham, they shouted excitedly, "We're in Swanage!" So it's just lovely to be with you this morning. We have in fact visited you when you were in the old building, and we were hoping to be able to come in person for this, but obviously we can't. And see your new building. But when we came, we were given such a warm welcome, and just loved the fact that as a church, you just embraced prayer, and you were praying about everything that was going on currently, before COVID. And I just want to thank you for how much you've supported Tearfund historically. Your generosity has made it possible for Tearfund to do so much. And I know that you have heard about the work of Tearfund in the past. But just in case you have not heard of Tearfund, I'll just give you a brief introduction. They are a development and relief agency that have been in operation for over 50 years now. That wealth of experience of just looking after the most vulnerable and poorest people in the world has enabled them to do so much. So this morning, I would just like to start with God's command to Moses, which sounds quite heavy, but later on we'll unpack what that means. In Leviticus 23:22, God's command to Moses was, "When you reap the harvest of your land," it's harvest time now, really, so it's apt, "do not reap the edges of your field or gather the gleanings of your harvest. Leave them for the poor and foreigner that reside amongst you. For I am the Lord your God." Now, in that shows God's heart. There was no conditions on it. It wasn't, "They've got to be your people." It was the foreigner that resides amongst you. And it was definitely this idea that God wanted us to share our abundance and our inheritance. In fact, it was to be the DNA of God's chosen people, that they would be generous-hearted and that they would care for the poor. It says at the end of that, "For I, the Lord, am your God." This is what should identify God's people as being God's people, the fact that there will be provision for the poor. Jesus spoke so much about the poor. This is God's heart, that there shouldn't be injustice, that there shouldn't be those that are so rich and those that are so poor. And we, as the church, should be doing something about that. And that is the main aim of Tear Fund. They do so much over 50 years, you can imagine there's advocacy, speaking to corrupt governments, trying to get injustice sorted in that way. Sometimes there's a response to a short-term disaster that has to be immediate. But a lot of their work is around developing and development and enabling people to become self-sufficient. And that may be what brings them to God through that, as they see God's heart in the work that Christians do. So, this morning, I want to ask you a question. I want you to think about this. You might be together with your families, you might be on your own, but I want you to complete this sentence. Home is. What comes to mind? It might be home is where the heart is. Might be your garden. Could be anything. But I think what we've learned, definitely through March, April, May, is that home has become for so many people a place of safety, but also a place of isolation. When the government sent out the endorsement to stay home, save lives, home took on a whole new meaning. And for some people, you may have written that home is where you feel loved. And for some people, even though they were physically safe from COVID, they were without their families, they were without their loved ones, they were without friendship and without company. And I think it also threw out a lot of injustice and inequality in our own country. For the homeless, it became apparent we've got to do something about this because this is just not safe. And for some people, They were actually cramped together in really what in normal circumstances would not have been acceptable conditions. They didn't have gardens. On really hot days, they couldn't get out. They might not have had a place to just go and get some privacy. So home can be all kinds of things. And during the peak time, we were also getting daily briefings, and during those daily briefings, they were coming out with statistics. So statistics started to mean something. But after a while, we heard those statistics and they just became numbers instead of people. Well, I want to give you a statistic today that is shocking. 70 million people in the world are homeless and displaced. They are looking for a home. They are looking for a place to be safe. They have no home, no place of safety. 70 million. That is more than the population of Great Britain. And 1.5 million of those people have come from Syria to the Lebanon to find a place. They are asylum seekers. They are finding asylum. And unfortunately, when they get to Lebanon, Beirut especially, has limited resources of how to look after them. And so they are still in extreme poverty. But that's a number, and it's hard to get our head around. So today, I would like to bring a face to the numbers and give you a story about how Tear Fund can bring hope to the hopeless. Her name is Tamam. Here she is. She came from Syria. And Tamar had her own home. She actually owned it. She wasn't renting it in Syria. She came from Aleppo in Syria. She had a husband. She had children, three children. And she had a garden. She grew her own vegetables, her own crops. She reared goats. She had a vineyard. She had a good life. She had a family, safety, and provision. And then ISIS came. And when ISIS came, they cut off electricity. They cut off water. We've been without heating. Not electricity, but heating for just a week, and the weather looked like it was getting colder, and the log burner wasn't working either. So we're like, oh no, we're not going to have heating for winter. But actually, still got blankets, still got hot water bottles, still got electricity to boil the water for those hot water bottles. But she had nothing. And without water, the crops died, the animals died. And it soon became apparent that they were not going to be able to live in that situation. And then the conflict came, and then the war came, and then the unsafety came. And in the middle of all of that, her husband was killed in a car accident. A beloved husband. And a child died, one of her children. So she is now left without a husband to care for her, without one of her children, just the grief from that. Fear of the conflict, and her home is no longer a place of safety or refuge. So she had to make the mammoth decision that she was going to leave in the middle of the night with her children and run to safety, run to the Lebanon. And so I just want you to think about this. What would you pack in a bag similar to this one? Have a bag. What would you pack? What would you take if you knew that you were going to leave your home? You were going to leave your country with young children. She made the decision that she was going to take her photos, because you can never replace that. She took a photo of her husband. She took a photo of her home. She took photos of the children when they were young, of them as a happy family. To hold on to that. And she also took identity papers. So I just at this point, I would like to show you a film about how Tirfan, through their partners. So partners are the people that Tirfan work with that actually are in these areas. And in this case, the partner, Tahidi Center, how they respond to needs like Tamim.
It's hard to explain the meaning of home. It's the feeling of having all my family and holding them dear in my heart. All that's left in this photo is me. Everything else is gone. My husband, my child, garden, and home. I miss them. I miss my home. Because of the warfare and the living conditions, we decided it was better to leave. We had fighting on both sides and we were in the middle. At 3 a.m., my children and I left our home. We fled, keeping as quiet as we could. I could only bring our photos and IDs, which I hid in my clothing. It was a terrifying ordeal for the children. The dead bodies and fighting scared them. We came across that everywhere we went.
Tirfan is reaching out to the most vulnerable refugees in Lebanon in order to overcome the trauma which they have experienced, both when they were fleeing from Syria and also when they are now living in a very tough condition. As a Christian organization, Tirfan works with all those who are in need, regardless of religion. which often are being done through our partners, Christian organization and churches. And this by itself is a great testimony for anybody who are witnesses the action of Tearfund.
We experience difficulties. The water here is salty and scarce. Everything is different in Syria. Our houses were better. I miss my house, my land, and my garden. Sometimes I cry a lot.
The needs in Syria and Lebanon are so great today, but it is a privilege for Tearfund to work with the partners on the ground. Tahari is helping women like Taman in an area where 75% live in extreme poverty. And Tahari is a home for many of the families who are living in this area. Here, they can get help with education to their children. They have a health center. They have psychologists, social workers, helping those who have been traumatized. One thing more, it is skill training. As Taman, she is learning to sew, so she can earn some money and later on, hopefully, she can go back to Syria and she can use the skills she have learned at Tahadi Center.
The Tahadi Center helped me stand on my feet. Being a seamstress, I am the breadwinner. My four children go to school here. I hope for a happy future for my children and never experience what I experienced. I hope to teach my children to sew, to open a small sewing business in Syria and have a better life than the one I had. I wish that Syria would be safe again. I wish for that every waking second, and that we'd go back home and have peace.
So, when Tamam got to Beirut, she still is in impoverished situation. It's extreme poverty there. You can imagine with 1.5 million displaced people trying to find a home there. And she has got these two rooms in the middle of Beirut. And in the middle of this is the Tahidi Education Center. There is light in the middle of squalor, hopelessness, and of just a great need. It's like God's light is in the middle of this, giving people hope and giving them a purpose. And as you saw through the video, Tamam has learned new skills, making bags such as this. And with the people that she's working with, she says they're like sisters to her. So there's a feeling of family again as they make these bags. Imagine what these bags symbolize. There's, you put things in bags. You have to have possessions to put in them. Is she going to have possessions? Is she going to take this bag back home to Syria one day? So there's hope for her. There's hope for children. There's education. There's psychologists that can work with the actual trauma that this whole family, for her herself and for her children, they've lost her father, their father, their home, they've seen war, they've seen violence, and so working with that as well. And, you know, these people are not Christians necessarily, and yet there is no, just like God's provision for the edges of the field is just to the poor and to the foreigner that resides amongst you, there's this provision for them in hopelessness. So that situation seems desperate, but Tearfund was birthed in a situation of desperateness. In 1968, on black and white TVs, I was quite young, but I can remember something about it. On black and white TVs, there was these images of starving children in Biafra. And Christians stood up and said, we've got to do something about this. We cannot let this happen. And so to the Evangelical Alliance, they sent money, and money started to stream in, and they had to make it work. And so there became an organisation, the Evangelical Alliance Relief Fund, Tear Fund. And if people just stood by and said, this is too big, we can't do anything about it, Tear Fund would have never existed. But today, they've helped so many people, transform so many lives. People have come to faith through what they do. And it's Tear Fund's vision that we will see the end of extreme poverty in our lifetime. We have to believe it, because God's provision is there and we are the people that are going to make it happen. So let's think of that story that was read earlier from Ruth. Ruth, with her mother-in-law, was in fact a refugee, was homeless, had nothing. If Boaz had not adhered to the command of God to leave the edges of his field to be gleaned, there would have been no provision for her. And that story goes on to have an amazing ending, and a little bit of romance in there as well, which is lovely. But they were provided for because Boaz followed the command. So this morning, what can we do? How can we, metaphorically, leave the edges of our field to be gleaned? Some of you, especially in Swanage, may be farmers, but you know, that's not possible. So today, I encourage you, I invite you to be part of provision for people like Saman. For £14 a month, two families, over the course of a year, two families like Tamam can be helped for partners' provisions such as Tahiti, and given skills to enable them to get that. That might be far too much. I know that for some people who have lost their jobs and everything else, that's far too much. But whatever you can give, even through prayer, that makes an enormous difference. We can make a difference. We might not be able to save the world, but we could save one person, and that will have a ripple effect. So today, the link that if you want to go onto that and look at how you can give as a regular giver, there is the opportunity also for tax relief from the government. The link, I have to check this, because in my practice I got it wrong, is www.tearfund.org/Tamam. And I encourage you to go on to that. And I encourage you to become part of this journey of Tear Fund. And so I'd like to end in a prayer to Tamam and for displaced people. Lord, we bring to mind all that Tamam went through, seeing her home and her family life destroyed, and forced to make the agonizing decision to flee her own country and to live in a foreign land. Help us to stand alongside families who have lost almost everything through conflict and displacement. Help us to share your compassion with people in greatest need who feel broken and abandoned. Father God, we ask you not to let us look away. Show us how we can respond to this situation like Tamam's that can seem overwhelming. We pray that all families fleeing their homes will find a place of welcome and safety. Help us to play our part in restoring a sense of home. Amen. And I really hope, guys, that one day I'll be able to in person visit you and your new building. Thank you for listening.
Thank you so much, Julie. That was such a stirring and challenging message in so many ways. And of course, yes, let me give you that invitation. It would be lovely to see you here in person next time when you're down here. But one of the things these sort of messages do is it stirs us to, we need to take action in some way. Julie led us at the end there in prayer. One of the things we can do is to pray. And so it's really lovely. We've asked Helen Rochelle to lead us in some prayers, to helping us to think more broadly about these needs in our world. So over to you, Helen. Thank you.
Closing and love be met. Let us be still as we come before God in prayer. Lord God, in a universe that seems so immense, it's easy to feel insignificant. Yet you promise to draw near to us if we draw near to you. You encourage us to always pray and never give up. Show us this morning how to stand alongside families for whom home is not a place of hope and restoration, isn't somewhere safe and free from fear, for whom home is not even a building or shelter or a place to find comfort. We pray for those who have lost almost everything through conflict and displacement, for the 30 million refugees in our world, over half children and young people. May they find refuge and welcome when they stop. May their needs for food, shelter, clothing, and love be met. May their wounds, emotional and physical, be healed. Help us to listen to their plight, to have compassion, and to take action on their behalf. We pray for those governments and countries receiving refugees. May wise decisions be made among the leaders. May help go to the right places. We ask that stability comes to the countries receiving refugees and from those countries from which they have fled. We pray that a peaceful situation is found in countries such as Syria, Sudan, Myanmar, which brings an end to the crises and allows an environment where refugees can return home. We think of the Rohingya peoples who have fled their homes and persecution, and for the government and people of Bangladesh, already full and with their own difficulties. We pray for our own country, for families who have found refuge. Help us to be generous in our own giving and attitudes. And Lord, we bring people with no home, homeless people who for many reasons find themselves on the streets. Help us not to look away. make us ready to comfort and pray. May your perfect love for a stranger cast out our fear. Thank you for those who are working to eradicate homelessness, councils, charities, organisations and churches. We pray for those whose homes have become a place of fear. Free those living with abuse, physically, mentally or spiritually, from oppression, so that they may walk in peace and enjoy a life full of your blessings. Challenge us with these words from Leviticus. When you reap the harvest of your land, do not reap to the very edges of your field, or gather the gleanings of your harvest. Leave them for the poor and the foreigner residing among you. I am the Lord your God. In your mercy, Lord, hear our prayers. Amen.
Lord, we long for you to move in power. There's a hunger deep within our hearts to see healing in our nations. Send your Spirit to revive us. Heal our nations. Lord, we hear your Spirit coming closer, a mighty wave to break upon our land, bringing justice and forgiveness. God, we cry to you, revive us. Heal our nation. Heal our nations. Heal our nations. Pour out your Spirit on this land.
Thanks, Adam. And I don't know about you, but I found Jilly's word, but also that video, very stirring and very challenging. And we need to respond, don't we? We have in prayer and we need to keep praying, but let's also give too. As a church, of course, we give quite often to Tear Fund, and it'd be really good, perhaps if you don't give on a regular basis, for you to be able to do that. So let's just encourage that stirring to go further. That's what we need, isn't it? But we're coming towards the end of our time together. So thank you so much again for joining us. It's been great having you here. It's been lovely having some of our friends from the leadership team here and spouses. It's great. But we like to stay connected, and we like to be able to finish our services, as you probably know, with the grace. And this morning, it's great to have Richard and Sarah Penny and the dogs, very much a part of their family, to share the grace with us. So thank you again for joining us, and we'll see you again next week. God bless.
May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen.